God. Seems ironic, given all who need a healing touch, that we're going to talk tonight about the privilege of healing. Praise God. Amen. The privilege of healing. It reminds me of service in Vancouver when I was at Bible school. And there was a family of girls who could sing very well. They were very talented. And they got up to sing one Sunday night and introduced their song and said, "Pray for us. We're not feeling too well, but we're going to sing The Healer." Praise God. And they did a good job in spite of the sniffles and sore throats and so on. Amen. So, why is there a need for healing? Why is there suffering? Well, because we're not in heaven yet. Amen. We're still here in this world, in this life. And you can blame it on Satan and sin. He's the one who messed everything up. And we know the Garden of Eden being a place of paradise for how long, we don't know. It could have gone on for some time, Adam and Eve enjoying the presence of God. But Satan ruined that. And Eve was told in sorrow, she will bring forth her children. So you're left to wonder, mothers, what it could have been like in childbirth instead of all the pain. But then the rejoicing. In Luke chapter 13, there was a woman who was loosed from her infirmity. 18 years she suffered with that infirmity. And Jesus did the healing work and then was criticized for it. That always amazes me, that he was criticized instead of acclaimed because of the work that he did. Wouldn't you want healing after suffering for 18 years? And regardless of what day it was, regardless of where the moon was or what the tides were doing or whatever, praise God, the healing would come. Well, it came on the Sabbath. And they said, "You're not supposed to work on the Sabbath." Well, those people were very glad that Jesus worked on the Sabbath. And he came back at the criticism. I'm glad the Lord didn't cower down and become very timid and apologize and say, okay, I know I did wrong here. I won't do it again. And no, he came right back at him. Luke 13:16, "Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" Praise God. He's letting them know she deserves to be healed. Praise God. And thank the Lord, his power would be demonstrated there. Amen. In Acts 10:38, Peter included in his message to Cornelius and his household that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Praise God. What was that for? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Now, we need to understand, in a day of devil possession and depression and so on, we're not saying that everybody is sick because of Satan being in their lives. The Pelleteers are not sick because they invited Satan into their home. No, I'm saying that Satan is the one who ruined the perfection that the Lord created to begin with. And that sickness and suffering has continued down through the generations. The oppression, the depression, the possession of the devil, thank God the Lord can heal and has healed time and time again. But it's Satan's work to bring suffering. As you read the book of Job, and he comes into the presence of God, and the Lord inquires of what he has been doing, And then the Lord says, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan challenges that. Oh, you take away what you've blessed him with, and then we'll see how he acts. And then the second time, oh, you take away his health and the favor that you've given to him, and then we'll see him curse your name. You know, and the words to that effect. Satan is the one who brings suffering and sickness, and it's because of the sin that is a part of our world. Amen. And the laws of sowing and reaping are still in effect. They're still there. You can't burn the candle at both ends, so to speak, and expect to remain strong and healthy. You're going to wear yourself out. And when you do, you're more susceptible to any kind of bug or bacteria or germ or whatever that comes along. So, God gave you a brain, and thank God you can use it and not do the sowing and reaping that are going to affect you physically and spiritually. Eat right. Sleep good. Exercise. Fast and pray. Amen. Simple little things, but they have a lot of effect. Now, affliction does come. We can afflict ourselves, and sometimes fasting feels like that. We can afflict ourselves. Sometimes God does the afflicting to teach us our dependence on him and the weaknesses that we need to take heed to and be able to fix. Now, Jonah brought afflictions on himself. He ran from the presence of the Lord. Most of us want to be in the presence of the Lord. Jonah didn't want to be. And he began to flee from the presence of God. He ran from the will and the call of God. He ended up in the whale. And he cried out. And this is what he cried. I cried by reason of mine affliction. And he's owning it. He's saying, I brought this on myself. And I made the wrong choices. And he's saying, I cried unto the Lord, and he heard me. Now, Psalm 119 and 67 deals with this aspect of affliction also. And the psalmist is putting a positive on the affliction. I'm sure when we're in the middle of affliction, it's far from positive. It doesn't feel good. It's not something we rejoice about. But after we come through and we see with 20/20 hindsight, as we call it sometimes, the benefit. And here's what the psalmist said. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Uh-oh. That's not a good choice. But the affliction caused him to recognize his mistake, and he said, now have I kept thy word. I'm not going astray anymore. I'm not going to make dumb choices. I'm going to follow your will. Verse 71 of that same chapter, Psalm 119 and 71, he now recognizes the positive aspects of it when he says, it was good for me. And again, we don't feel very good about the affliction. We don't feel very positive. We don't feel very blessed. But when we come through it, I think we can say, like the psalmist is declaring here, it was good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And he's understanding the benefit of what was there. How can there be a benefit of suffering? And again, when you're hurt, when you're experiencing pain, when there's limitations and disabilities and so on, how in the world can there be a benefit out of that? Well, I guess it's kind of nice to have that sticker hanging on your mirror and you park a little bit closer to the door. What benefit is there, Brother Steve?
Well, you don't grow on mountaintops. You grow down in the valleys where the soil is so rich and so deep.
Okay. And the psalmist declared that. He restores my soul. And he recognized it was where there were still waters, where there was green pastures, and the Lord was leading him. And he benefited from that. And so the benefits. We have a hard time seeing the benefits when we're going through it. But it teaches humility. I'm not bulletproof. I'm not, you know, high and mighty. I've got frailties. I've got limitations and so on. So it increases your humility. It also helps you to generate faith and look to the Lord for how it's going to get fixed and how we're going to continue on. And the important thing is, let it push you towards God, not away from God. Amen. See, the devil's attempt there is to get you your eyes off of the Lord and on the problem, and make a mountain out of a molehill, as we say. But we want to be pushed towards God, not away from Him. And divine discipline has those benefits of causing us to look at Him. And thank God we know Him as the healer.
Amen.
Amen. Let's take inventory here real quick. Let's see here. We've got Aaron, who came through heart surgery, open heart surgery. And we've got AJ, who had the worst case of asthma on the peninsula or on the state? What? On the peninsula, okay, that's 50,000 people. And but here he is, praise God. Let's see here. Three of us have come through cancer, and Sister Denny is a fourth example of coming through cancer. Twice. And Brother Rick and Sister Annette and myself, survivors, praise God.
Amen.
Not just survivors, thrivers. Amen. And Sister Denny is also an example of that. And let's see, Sister Becca had she had a problem with her wrist, something like that, and we prayed, and she got healed, and then her eyes. Just a number of things. Aubrey? Oh, that's right. That's right. Brother Dave had cancer. So there's four of us here, and now Sister Denny joins us, making us five. Praise God. So, powerful evidence of what the Lord can do. Amen. And many of us brought through small and large situations. Sister Esther getting a powerful touch on Sunday. Amen. And God continuing that work. Brother Steve, still here. And in spite of such horrible problems that have come as a result. But God. Amen. That's the difference. Brother Steve. Yeah. Right. And that's a tremendous testimony of what God can do. Praise God. Now, and we could continue down the list here of so many things that people have been healed by, but we know the only way out of here is through the doorway of death. The Bible talks about Elisha being noted probably because of the double portion that he desired. And sure enough, the double portion came to pass. He did twice as many miracles as Elijah. The one that brought him to the double portion, however, was after he died. And that soldier being thrown in his tomb came in contact with his bones and came alive and came scrambling out of there, running after his fellow soldiers, who somehow picked up speed. Praise God. Wait for me, he yells. And they didn't do any such thing. They took off. Well, but that doesn't cancel out the fact that while we are living here on this earth, our God's a healer. Amen. Sister Bartlett had been healed a couple of times of problems with her knees and the leg situations, tendons and so on. And you know, again, we can go on and on and on here of all of the things that the Lord has done. I thank God he is our healer. And the Gospels, all four of them are full of instances where he demonstrated that power. Let's visit just a few of them here. Matthew 9 and 36. He saw the multitudes. And when he saw them, he wasn't overwhelmed with the needs, with the problems, with the sicknesses, with the diseases. He didn't cringe and say, oh, I don't think I can deal with all of this. I don't think I've got enough power to heal the problems that are here. No, he was moved with compassion. And he saw that they fainted and were scattered abroad. And they were like sheep having no shepherd. It was chaos. There was problems. There was difficulties. But I like what verse 35 says. In the face of the situations there, I'm thankful he responded to their spiritual needs of a shepherd. He was teaching and preaching the gospel in the cities and villages. And look at that, healing every sickness and disease. Praise God. Nothing stumped him. Nothing caused him to wring his hands and say, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's causing this. I don't know what the cure is. No, he knew both. Praise God. And able to do that work. Healing in the natural body and the spiritual body. Amen. Healing the brokenhearted. That's an area that psychologists, psychiatrists, sociologists, medical doctors, and so on struggle with. And they have therapy, and they're trying to reach a place of being able to deal with it. And God bless them. I'm glad that they make that effort. But God knows, and he's able to heal both the natural and the spiritual body. Amen. One of the prominent orthopedic surgeons here in town, he's gone now, retired, I guess. I don't see his name anymore, but he came into my classroom. His son was in my room, and so we were doing a unit on the skeleton, and I invited him to come in. And he spoke some amazing things about the skeletal system and so on, but he acknowledged that healing only comes from God and that a broken bone is only knit together because God designed it that way. That's amazing, isn't it? And when you consider a broken bone and how it can knit together, how it can again be fused or healed, however you want to describe it, that's pretty amazing. And blood, we're learning more and more about blood and how truly, as the scripture says, the life is in the blood. There's so much that it does, you know, red blood cells, white blood cells, platelets, and so on. All of the amazing things about the blood. How can it close up a wound, you know, from a small scratch to a huge gash? The blood taking care of the germs and coagulating and forming the healing process. And it may take weeks, but it does the work. Amazing. Praise God. So, I'm glad the Lord designed healing in the body. The church is his body. That's where you can find healing. Get in it and stay in it. Praise God. Amen. And don't be thinking that you can wander out and about and still have everything turn out okay. No, stay in the church. Stay in the body. Praise God. That he knows the cause and the cure. Praise God. How can blind eyes have retinas reattached and whatever problem there? How can they go from mud balls to eyeballs? The Lord did that. How can paralyzed muscles all of a sudden be re-energized and cause a man to stand up who has been lame for many, many years? How can lepers have new tissue and new blood flowing through areas of their body that has been damaged severely, wasted away by the dread disease of leprosy? Because he's the healer. Amen. Exodus 15 and 26, he told Israel, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Praise God. One of the great I ams. And we thank the Lord that he promised none of the diseases that were laid upon the Egyptians are going to afflict you. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Praise God. His word promises healing. And Isaiah 53, a prophecy about the Lord and how he would do the work both of redemption and healing. Isaiah 53 and verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And it wasn't a casual whipping that he endured. It wasn't just a discipline that took place for maybe a dozen lashes. No, 39 times that whip fell across his body. And he did that for our healing. Praise God. And Peter comments about it in 1 Peter 2 and 24. He says, he took our sins in his body on the cross. That's what he was there for. So really, we can say our sins nailed him there. That's why sin is not a joke. That's why sin is not something we can just be casual about. That's why sin can't be just something we play games with. Sin is nasty. Sin is dirty. Sin is injurious, both to you and it did to the Lord. And he was upon the cross. We should be dead to sins, but now we're alive unto righteousness. And you were healed. Peter puts it in past tense. You were healed by those stripes. Praise God. Thank the Lord. Salvation came because he's been the Redeemer. And if you look up the definition of salvation in both the Hebrew and Greek, it includes these blessings: deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness. Praise God. It does all of that. And we know the gospel that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Praise God. Look at all the positives that are there. And to be saved means to save from sin, first of all, and then to heal, to make well, to restore to health, to save one suffering from disease. So it has all of the connotations of what God can do in our lives with the demonstration of power that he wants to give. And he didn't hoard that power. He didn't say, it's all mine, and I'll dispense it when and to whom, whenever I want. He called the 12. Praise God. He told them in Matthew 10 and 1, when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. That's fairly inclusive. Praise God. And you can imagine the joy. You can imagine the excitement. You can imagine the thrill that the disciples had as a result of God giving them that kind of power. And then he multiplied it. He sent 70 out, probably including the original 12. But he sent 70 out, two by two, to heal the sick. And the Bible says they returned with joy. And they exclaimed, "Lord, even the devils are subject to us through thy name." Praise God. And then the Lord said, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy." Praise God. I'm glad we can claim those promises and know the Lord is there. In Mark 16, there's power again given to believers. And believers can cast out devils. Believers speak with new tongues. They can take up serpents. Not that we choose to, but if it happened, that the Lord would make it all right. You can drink something deadly and no harm. We don't do that just to prove anything. Just like the Lord told the devil, "I'm not going to jump off here just to satisfy you. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And those who would bring a challenge to believers from Mark 16 need to just stick around, because we can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Praise God. And again, as we gave examples here, that's happened many, many times in areas that medical science does not have the answer. Praise God. Oh, the power of God. Tremendous power of God. And that power was extended to the 120 on the day of Pentecost, when he said, "Greater works than these shall you do." Amen. The disciples demonstrated that in a tremendous way. The power of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost with the 120, and then the lame man being healed at the Gate Beautiful, and the sermon that was preached after that healing, 5,000 believed. 3,000 joined the 120 on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 after the healing of the lame man. Not everybody was excited. Religious authorities persecuted the disciples, told them not to teach or preach in that name anymore. So they went and had prayer. Praise God. They lifted up their voice with one accord. That one accord continued from the day of Pentecost. Very important. And they prayed for boldness to speak the word of the Lord. They asked him to extend his hand to heal, and that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Notice how they're saying it, like, "Lord, we want you lifted up. Lord, we want you exalted. Lord, we want you to receive the glory." That was the nature of their prayer. And the place was shaken. And they were all filled with the Spirit again. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. And the Bible says, great power they gave witness of the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. The Lord really answered their prayer. The Lord really provided in a powerful way. Praise God. Because what he said was true. Greater works than these shall you do. So signs and wonders to where even the shadow of Peter, that's pretty amazing. They brought the sick out into the street just so that Peter passing by might overshadow them. Wow. That is pretty amazing. Signs and wonders. That hadn't happened before, had it? Acts 5 and 16, there came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Oh my. The revival in Samaria, Acts 8 and 6, Philip preaching Christ to them, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And then they were baptized in the precious name of Jesus. Praise God. Great joy, the Bible says, was in the city because unclean spirits were cast out, the paralyzed and the lame were healed. Amen. And it just goes on. Peter at Lydda, or Lydda, however you say that city, came unto a disciple named Aeneas, who was paralyzed for 8 years. I don't know what happened. Injury on the job, some kind of sickness that took away his mobility. We don't know. But for 8 years, he was paralyzed. Peter simply said, "Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise." And he did. And Acts 8 and 35 says, "All they that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord." See, there's a purpose for the Lord doing these things. It's not just a carnival atmosphere to see something unusual, to see something unique. But it's to show the power of God. Peter went on to Joppa, and a disciple named Tabitha, or Dorcas, was sick and died. She was a woman of good works and much alms deeds. She made garments and coats and so on for Mother's Memorial. No. I don't know if she did or not. But she died. But Peter prayed and said, "Tabitha, arise." That's it. "Tabitha, arise." Oh my goodness. How amazing. And notice Acts 9 and 42. "It was known throughout all Joppa." Well, how could you keep it quiet? Everybody who saw her knew she had died, or word got around. Listen, she was dead. And Peter just said, "Tabitha, arise." And she did. Praise God. "Known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord." Praise God. See, there's a key here. It's for the glory of God. Paul at Ephesus, following revival among the followers of John the Baptist. "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" That's a very important question, isn't it? And what he was doing was looking for divine evidence of their believing. Believing is a wonderful step to receiving what God has for us. But there needs to be the receiving as well as the believing. So he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe?" "We haven't heard so much whether there be any Holy Ghost." "Well, how were you baptized then?" Paul wasn't changing the subject. He had been told that Jesus preached the new birth, born of the water and of the Spirit. And he was checking out both elements. If they didn't know about the Spirit, he better make sure about the water. They said, "Well, we were baptized by John. John said, believe on him that was to come after him." When they heard that, they were baptized again in the name of Jesus. And praise God, they received the Holy Ghost and spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. Paul remained there for 2 years. And the Bible says in Acts 19:11, God wrought special miracles. Now to me, every miracle is special. But special miracles, the Bible calls it. Praise God. You know, God never runs out. God never says, "Okay, I'm done. That's it. I don't have an encore." No, he's always got more. Amen. by the hands of Paul, so that from his body there were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and evil spirits went out of them. Notice both physical and spiritual are dealt with. The Lord doesn't ignore the needs. He doesn't categorize them and say, okay, today that's all we're going to deal with. Come back next time and we'll try to deal with this other. No, he has the answer. Praise God. He has the way of dealing with it. And thank God, no personal glory, no personal gain was attempted. None. And it's like they followed the principles of the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's what they were focused on. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In Acts 16, they could have taken the announcement of that little girl who was used in divination and fortune telling. These men are servants of the Most High God, and they show unto us the way of salvation. Anything wrong with that announcement? They are the servants of God. They are showing the way of salvation. But that girl knew that from the devil working in her life. And Paul didn't want to associate with that demonic aspect. And so he said, come out of her. And thank God there was that change. So, the opportunity to gain fame and fortune was there, but they continued in faith and giving glory to God. I wish we could say that was the same today. But there's marquees that have somebody's name up there. There's programs in the media that declare so-and-so is going to be in town, and the great crusade. Now, some of them have a very sincere approach and a very strong scriptural stand, as much as they know. And thank God for those who come to true repentance. Amen. But there is a lot of shady stuff that goes on. And in November, we fall back. And there's an evangelist who prides himself in being able to do that, make you fall back. Well, one of our preachers said, I knew him before he had an accent. Huh. Well, I want to give glory to him. Praise God. I'm not going to seek sickness. I'm not going to wish a dread disease upon me or upon anybody. But if it comes, I'm going to trust our healer. Amen. Amen. So that he gets the glory. So that he's the one exalted. None of these individuals, the man born blind, he was a young man. And he'd never seen a sunset, never saw his reflection, never looked at his mom and dad. None of that, none of it. But the Lord healed him. And then all the questions began to fly. And each time he was questioned, each time he was even criticized, he simply said, he anointed my eyes. He told me to go and wash, and I came seeing. Four times he told of what Jesus did for him. He wasn't saying, yeah, I'm the one that was born blind. Look at me, I can see. There wasn't an admission charged for him, for people to come in and see, that he could see. He didn't try to get any of the glory out of it. He gave glory to the Lord because the Lord said, it's not his sin, not the sin of his parents, but that God receive the glory. Praise God. Let's stand tonight. I'm thankful that the Lord demonstrated his power in the time that he was here on the earth for over 3 years. And then for the rest of the book of Acts, he continued that ministry. And he's continued it on through. I do not understand why people would want to close that chapter, close that book and say, it's only for the apostles. It's only the disciples. There's no more healing. There's no more miracles. Why in the world would they want to do that? Maybe they're disappointed that there are people who wave their banner and claim the glory. Maybe that's their motivation. I don't know, but I sure don't want to slam the book and say, it's over. It's done. Just suffer. Because there's no more miracles. There's no more healing. There's no more speaking in tongues. There's no more receiving the Spirit. Oh, the Lord didn't stop that. The Lord didn't say that there's an end. There will be an end. Praise God. There will be an end. But for right now, praise God, it's available. It continues. And we've seen it again and again and again. And we're going to keep believing that the Lord does that work. Let's come and pray here for just a few minutes. I'm thankful that we put our trust in the one who is the healer. And we can, by faith, claim the work that he did and the fact that he gave the promise that greater things, amen, and praise God, the power of the Lord and the blessing that we can receive. Let's give praise to him. Let's give him glory. Let's exalt him. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we exalt you, Lord. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Koloroma sengelima sharamahata. Oh, Lobodikendamando, Bolorima sandalaraba. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Ah, la mamande malaningeso cotondoroboya. Yea, yaladilimese que tendaloroboho. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We exalt you, Lord. Gamaladilimasondoroboya. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Ah, Jesus, that you would be glorified. Jesus, that your name would be exalted. Jesus, that you would be lifted up. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Show that dominion, Lord. Show that increase of your kingdom, God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Demonstrate, I pray, the power. Demonstrate that strength. Word of God, we pray in your mighty name.
Jesus.